So in order to better serve you, I would like to hear from you what topics you would like discussed, or what questions you would like answered. I won't answer one by one, but I'll just get an idea, and then I'll try to speak in such a way as to satisfy everyone's thirst. So, anyone like to ask a question or make a request? Yes?
Present verse which we are discussing is Mrityu Sarvaharashchaham. So could you share something? Because I see patients at the hospice. As devotees, how we should prepare?
Can you put this on the microphone?
Last 2 days we are discussing the words Mrityu Sarvaharashchaham. And since you had the idea of opening a hospice at Vrindavan, could you please share how we should prepare for our death?
Okay. Other questions? Requests?
Maharaj, early acquisition of the knowledge of Sambandha Gyan is it bearing Sambandha Gyan with Lord Krishna? Is it, that means the achievements of Sarva Siddhi has a lot of bearing in devotee's life. Many other achievements are linked with it. It will be a good thing if you can throw some light about the instructions of Prabhupada and their own personal things which you might be knowing, so that we will be benefited by that.
You're saying to achieve Swarup Siddhi?
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. From this sloka, however we hear the instructions from the sastras, we hear the explanation from the devotees, still practically the fear of death is there. We are afraid about the fear of the death. So, when we are traveling or when we doing some activities or when we are sick, the fear of death is there, even though we are hearing so many instructions, how to overcome that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have heard you many, many times, and the way I have heard you narrating the past time of Srila Prabhupada, I felt that it's not just the various lessons you learned from Srila Prabhupada and the beautiful way you have imbibed those teachings in your life, but I felt a very strong attraction and attachment in your heart to Srila Prabhupada through certain incidences that you've shared. And I was really always wondering in my heart that how, Maharaj, you have cultivated such attachment to Srila Prabhupada. So, if you could share us how we can make our attachment to our spiritual master substantial, rather than being just some sentimental based on some externalities, how it can be really substantial, because as we hear from the teaching of Srila Prabhupada that the progress of our inner spiritual life depends on the instructions we follow of our spiritual master. So, to follow the instructions, there has to be a strong attachment to the personality of the spiritual master. So, how we can make that relationship substantial? Because I see that in your personal life, I'm very inspired to hear realized words from you on that subject matter.
Well, that's a good question.
May I ask a light-hearted question?
I'm friends with the devotees that compile the information for the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And whenever they couldn't put anything in the Lilamrita unless something was verified. And so they would hear things sometimes they couldn't put in. But it was known that if you had the best recollection of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, and if they heard anything that you repeated it, they considered it verified. So my specific question is, when you started in Boston, Srila Satsarup Maharaj was translating for Srila Prabhupada Krishna, if I remember heard this correctly. And so every day, Satsarup Maharaj would give class on Krishna book. And this was the first time you were hearing Krishna book based on the timetable of his class by Srila Prabhupada's translation. So what was the feeling like hearing Prabhupada first talks of Krishna book?
Okay. Hare Krishna. So I think everything begins from faith. Rupa Goswami says, ado shraddha. And that faith comes from association. In my case,
Here is the best.
Sorry?
It should be between your lip and your chin.
Where is it now?
Negligible.
Okay. So I had been searching for a spiritual master, and when I first visited the temple and got a chance to hear from Srila Prabhupada and inquire of him, he was different from everyone else I had met so far, especially because everyone else, and there were quite a few, was more or less an impersonalist. And Srila Prabhupada was the only one who really said that we are not God, but we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And it was a long search. One devotee in England who had also gone through a long search and then eventually came to Srila Prabhupada commented that the children in ISKCON who grow up with Srila Prabhupada don't know how difficult a search it was to come to him. They just take him for granted because he's there. And of course, as His Holiness Ratatva Goswami also often says, that these young people are born in the Hare Krishna movement, but they haven't joined the Hare Krishna movement. They have to themselves decide to join. So, even then, I was just receiving all the instructions on the philosophy and practice of Bhakti Yoga and was following. But it was later in Calcutta when I had a conversation with Tamal Krishna Goswami that things took on a little different perspective. Things were seen from a little different perspective. What he said was that and he was speaking from his realization, I could understand, that the secret of success in spiritual life is to serve the spiritual master, follow the orders of the spiritual master. And at that stage, all the different instructions, you know, attend Mangal Arati and the morning program, chant 16 rounds, study the books, do service, distribute books, speak about Krishna. They all became seen through the lens of service to the spiritual master. And that was the highest consideration in any decision. So now, somehow, by this question, we've come to the time when Srila Prabhupada first came to Vrindavan with his disciples. Srila Prabhupada had completed the first Delhi Pandal, and he was planning to come to Vrindavan with his disciples. At that time, Srila Prabhupada had received an invitation to go to Madras. And he understood that there was a motive behind the invitation. Because in Bombay, there was a couple, Dr. Bali, C. Bali, and his wife, Vaijayanti Mala, who was a Bharatanatyam dancer. They had a large property in Madras that they wanted to offer to Srila Prabhupada to purchase. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada wanted some disciples to go in his stead while he went to Vrindavan. And I knew that almost all the other devotees wanted to go to Vrindavan, and they were attached to the idea of going. And I had this idea, you know,
stemming from the conversation with Tamal Krishna Goswami, that you know the secret of success in spiritual life is to serve the spiritual master and please the spiritual master. So I offered to go. And as a small party of four devotees went. Then, you know, one thing led to another, and Srila Prabhupada got the land in Juhu, Bombay, and we were under constant attacks, really. And in the meantime, devotees were going to Vrindavan from time to time. And I never went because I just felt like there's like so many enemies, and you know, if I leave, they could attack in some way or another. They were attacking on so many fronts. And so I kept thinking, I just better stay in Juhu. But after a while, it occurred to me, maybe I'm exaggerating the importance of my presence in Juhu. Maybe I'm just, you know, thinking that things depend on me more than they actually do. It's giving myself some, you know, feeling needed, feeling I was needed. So I thought, all right, so many are going and coming, so I'll go for 4 days. And so I walked by where, you know, just where Prabhupada's room is here. And he saw me through the window. But I didn't see him. And he didn't, you know, but he noticed through the window. And he said to his secretary, "What's Giriraj doing here? He can never leave Bombay." So the secretary came and told me, and I was like so mortified. Instead of staying for 4 days or 3 days, I left after 2 days. So I guess it was based on faith. I just had faith that if I, like, you know, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavan Prasada, that if I please Srila Prabhupada, I would please Krishna. As far as how to cultivate that, well, I think it was, you know, when I look back on it, it was a natural process, but in a way you could say it was a way of cultivating it. And that was to associate with people in a similar mood. Of course, that early, well, I should say everyone in the early groups who came, but many in the early group were extremely attached to Srila Prabhupada. And so, yeah, I think I was always drawn to people who were attached to Srila Prabhupada, and that also served to enhance my own attachment. Even now, it's the same process. Associating with like-minded devotees. There was another
exchange with Tamal Krishna Goswami, in which this was after Srila Prabhupada left. And he was saying that there are some devotees who feel that they that if they go outside of ISKCON, they can reach to higher levels faster. And you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami was very staunch in his words that even if I have to work harder to get this perfection, whatever level of advancement, to get it through Srila Prabhupada, I'd rather do that than to go somewhere else to get it. And I had a similar conversation, but with a slight elaboration, with His Holiness Satchinanda Swami. That year he was doing a severe namvrat during Kartik, and he didn't have much time for anything else. But I was not meeting him often, and I wanted to have a little time with him, and so he agreed, set aside a certain amount of time. So the first thing he described was his own effort in his chanting. He said that it's like he was knocking on the door, but the door was not opening. And finally he thought that the way to, get the door to open was to do humble service, selfless service. So he decided to get up in the middle of the night and sweep the area of the kund. If he had done it when there were other people there, they probably would have said, "Oh, that's so wonderful what you're doing," and then it would have just aggravated his false ego and it would have just defeated the whole purpose. And he said that it worked. And he said when you're in the company of devotees, there are many ways to engage your mind. But when it's just you and the holy name and no one else, then the reality of your consciousness or the reality of the status of your relationship with the holy name is all that you see. And then, many things become exposed. But after taking up that humble, selfless service, he found that the door opened. And then he brought up the other point, that there are devotees who feel that they need to go out of ISKCON to get, higher knowledge, higher teachings, higher realization. And that's also there in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the five most potent items of devotional service is Sadhu Sangha, which is defined as Svajatiyashe Snigde Sadhu Sangha Svathobari. That one should associate with devotees who are more advanced and who have a similar affection for the Lord. So, he was noting that some people felt that to get the association of more advanced devotees, they had to go outside ISKCON. But he said that associating with more advanced devotees can be fulfilled within ISKCON if you have that humble mood that others are more advanced than you and you can learn from them. And the differences may not be like, you know, you go outside ISKCON, you meet someone who, you know, of course we're getting pretty old ourselves, but at that time, you know, it's like older, you know, born in India, new Sanskrit, you know, differences in external qualifications. And amongst us, there were no such, you know, dramatic distinctions. But Satchinandan Swami said, like at that time he gave the example that, and it was true what he said about me, that I was thinking that he, Satchinandan Swami, is more advanced than I am. So I can learn from him and I can benefit if I serve him. And then he said that he was thinking that I was more advanced than he was and he could learn by hearing from me and serving me. And in that way, one is getting the association of more advanced devotees by being humble. You know, and the opposite is like being proud, you know, like, oh, there's no one here is good enough for me, and I have to go somewhere else where I'll be one of the select few that could be a mentality. So, I think it's been shown or proven by many devotees that by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they can advance in Krishna consciousness. I happened to be in Mayapur recently on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. And Hari Vilas Prabhu gave the class. And it was a wonderful class. And in the class, he really spoke about Srila Prabhupada's faith in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how that was what made him, that was what defined him, his faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. So that is our line, that's the example that Srila Prabhupada gave us, example and precept. And how if one just surrenders to the spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada talks about it in his books and in his letters and in his conversation, if one surrenders to the order of the spiritual master, the mission of the spiritual master, all help will come. And he gave some examples from his own experience. He was in Paris, and Srila Prabhupada was coming. And they had no money. They literally had no money. So the night before Srila Prabhupada was due to arrive, he couldn't sleep. He just kept going over in his mind what is going to happen when Srila Prabhupada comes and we have no money. He said, I can hitchhike to the airport and be there. But then how do we get Prabhupada back to the temple? I can't hitchhike with Srila Prabhupada. And then there's no money for boga. There's no money for flowers. There's just no money. So after a restless night, he woke up very early and went into the temple room to chant. And while he was chanting, he noticed a brown paper bag. So he opened it up, and as he described it, he saw more money in that paper bag than he'd ever seen in his whole life. So he picked it up and put a chadar around him and continued chanting. He's like in so much anxiety, like he said he was sweating, because he was afraid that the owner of the paper bag might come back and ask for it. So he had it under his chadar, he was like chanting and sweating and worrying. And then, you know, Mangal Arati came and went, no one came for the bag, and the morning program was completed and no one asked for it. So then finally at 11, he decided, okay, no one's coming for it, and this is meant for Srila Prabhupada's service. So, okay, you buy flowers, you buy boga, he hired a taxi, and everything went well. So he gave that as an example in the context of his talk of how, you know, by serving the spiritual master, which Srila Prabhupada showed to the extreme just by coming to America, that, you know, Krishna helps, or the superior authorities help. Then he told another story that might have been 1973. It was his first visit to Vrindavan. And it was like a construction site.
It was 74.
And it was Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja and different devotees. Well, at that time...
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe it was 73.
Okay. He thought it was 73. So at this program there was an initiated disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who had been sent to the West, to England, to preach. And the Gaudiya Math was sending a huge amount of money every month to support his preaching. And they didn't really do much. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta called them back. And that devotee it wasn't just that he failed to achieve much, but he actually had developed a mentality that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta didn't really understand what it's like in the West, and the approach that he had given didn't really work. And they needed like a new approach, a different approach. And so Hari Vilas Prabhu was very aware of that history. And it just so happened that when he came in 1973, that person was present. That person who had gone to England and had been called back was present. Now, the devotee who was speaking was named Gargamuni. And Gargamuni was talking about the history of preaching in the West and how Srila Prabhupada was the only one who had faith in his spiritual master's orders, that actually, you know, crossed the ocean and it actually brought people to Krishna consciousness. And Hari Vilas Prabhu felt very uneasy that he's speaking like in such a blatant way in the presence of this person. And he kept looking at the person, and the person was like very stoic, like no change of facial expression at all, at any stage. Even when Gargamuni made the most powerful statements, he looked just expressionless, no change. But when he looked at Srila Prabhupada, he saw that Srila Prabhupada was smiling and beaming and relishing. And within himself, he felt, you know, I wish that one day I could speak like that, you know, without any fear, and just, you know, glorify my spiritual master and please my spiritual master. And finally, after everything that other devotee stood up, because he, you know, it was an occasion, he had to say something, he said, it cannot be denied that Swami Maharaj has done significant service. So somehow or other he had to come out and say something. And I feel that, you know, Hari Vilas Prabhu's desire that he wished that someday he could speak like that, I think that was actually fulfilled on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day. The way he spoke in the temple. Now it just so happens that Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj left his body on the same date, Titi, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance day.
And the next day, so as not to interfere with the celebrations for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had a a memorial program for Srila Govinda Swami Maharaj in the community hall. And a disciple of his named Madhavananda Das was like the master of ceremonies. He mentioned how Gaur Govinda Maharaj had told him that he had three goals in ISKCON. One was to show that everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. Two was to preach to the preachers. Now this was quite unusual. Srila Prabhupada had actually instructed Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj to preach to the preachers. In many other cases, Srila Prabhupada would instruct the devotees to approach new people, or even to train the new people who came. But they would like to preach to the preachers. Because he said when he saw like the older devotees like that fall victim and leave, it caused great pain in his heart. And his third mission was to show that you can get everything in ISKCON. And so he had that faith, and he realized, the higher levels of Krishna consciousness, basically by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Now someone asked him that you quote things in your lectures that are not in Srila Prabhupada's book, so how are you establishing that everything's in Srila Prabhupada's books? And he said that, Srila Prabhupada's books are alive. And by reading them, you may get some instruction or information, and then along with it, you may get some inspiration or some direction to look somewhere else for more information on the same subject, more details in support of the same principles. And, that of course could be, but it depends on the sincerity, I would say. It depends on the sincerity. And, as far as this Siddha Deha, there are two, broadly speaking, we could say there are two approaches. Actually, this could be a little technical and not necessary. But so someone approached Srila Prabhupada very near the end in Mayapur, sort of saying, Swamiji, you're going to be leaving soon, and how will I get my Siddha Deha, my perfected spiritual body? And, Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry about that. Just follow my instructions. When the time comes, I will take care of it. So Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you have in mind, but you know, what Srila Prabhupada emphasized was Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that, you know, love of Krishna is eternally established within the heart. And by chanting and hearing about Krishna, that love is awakened. It doesn't have to come from some other source. So, but yeah, there. But the other day, I just read a very nice letter from Srila Prabhupada, in which he was saying that neophyte devotees have the tendency to blame their difficulties on this, on the situation they're in. And he said, actually, the problem is not with the situation that they're in, but the problem is within them. That they are not Krishna conscious. You know, we're in the material world. There are always going to be dualities wherever we go. But the real thing is us, that we should be Krishna conscious. And then he said, you know, our duty is just to follow the instructions of Krishna. And that a pure devotee isn't even worried about liberation. You know, he just follows the instructions of Krishna and depends on Krishna. So, but yeah, I would say this is the process. You mentioned Sambandha Gyan, and that is necessary. We should read Srila Prabhupada's books. I think that's the main source of knowledge for us. It should be. And from that you get Sambandha Gyan and everything. There's like so much in his books. Like ones that have, as a very new devotee, I mean, some, you know, I'd heard, you know, you hear things. So I'd heard that Srila Prabhupada had said that the only price that you have to pay to become Krishna consciousness is the eagerness to become Krishna conscious. It's sort of a paraphrase of Rupa Goswami's verse. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, it was like we had just come to India. So there was an outdoor program and Srila Prabhupada was sitting on an elevated seat and I just raised my hand and I said that I heard that you had said that the only price we have to pay to become Krishna conscious is the eagerness to become Krishna conscious. So does that mean we still have to read books? And Srila Prabhupada replied that if you're eager, then why would you not read the books? So but yeah, from information we've gotten of devotees who have approached the time of death, they, you know, some of them were getting revelations as to what their position in the spiritual world was, what their service in the spiritual world was. You know, even devotees who may not have been like prominent leaders in ISKCON, but of course they were very sincere, and they were in the mood of humble service, selfless service. I think there are many examples, many, many, many examples. And a number of devotees I've started to notice recently have reported how they don't suffer pain. I mean, they should be suffering pain according to their physical condition, but they're not, because the deities are just taking away the pain, or the higher authorities are taking away the pain. So that is a big subject, preparing for the time of death or facing the time of death. But you know, the real the best way to do it is to, you know, just be so attached to Krishna that the external changes are not so significant. And it's just like that same letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote about the external circumstances. It's just a variety of an external circumstance. But, I mean, it is natural. And, you know, if you know, yeah, I mean, it's natural. But, yeah, if one really is fixed or desirous of being fixed, Krishna helps. I mean, this is, can be related to the question of pain, which is also a big question. Gaurijan Prabhu said that one of the problems with pain is that we label it as pain and as something that we want to avoid. Whereas if we just accept it as Krishna's mercy without labeling it as pain to be avoided, then we can experience it in a different way and actually experience Krishna through it. And, you know, he cited the verse Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamana, that while tolerating the painful effects of one's past activities, one continues to serve Krishna with body, mind, and words. So that tolerating can involve just like letting go of that, letting go of fighting it, and just accepting it. And so some devotees have also reported that in that process,
they can experience the presence of Krishna in the pain by accepting it and not fighting it. Have I missed something, or do we want to... Oh, yes, very good. Well, that's true. I mean, what I said about not taking Srila Prabhupada for granted, because it was such a struggle for many of us to find him after looking for so long in so many places. So the same applies to the books. We have all the books, but we may take them for granted and not even read them. When I joined, there were two published books. The abridged Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And there, I think there were some, might have been some copies of Easy Journey to Other Planets from India. But, so Satsvarupa Maharaj was getting the Prabhupada's dictations of the Krishna book, which are available now. And he would transcribe them, and then he would tell us about what he had transcribed or read. He would read to us, and it was really a gripping story because we'd never heard any of it before. And the way we were hearing it, or maybe it was the way Satsvarupa Maharaj was experiencing it and reading it, but anyway, the whole thing seemed to be building up to Krishna's killing Kamsa. Like the whole Krishna book was leading up to that. And kept reading different pastimes, and then we were like getting closer and closer, and then finally it was like, you know, Krishna going to Mathura. And it was like really gripping. It was like, you know, of course, we didn't have any furniture. It was like sitting at the edge of your seat, just waiting for what would happen. And we never knew exactly how much would be in the next installment, because Prabhupada's dictation, you know, he was pretty regular, but and we didn't know what was coming either. So it was like, whatever came, it was like a total revelation. And then when it came to that, we knew we were like coming close. And then when Prabhupada actually sent the dictation for the killing of Kamsa, it was like, that was it. The climax. Yeah. So, any new questions or comments? While living in the temple.
Well, the way to serve the spiritual master anywhere is to follow his instructions. And, Srila Prabhupada told us to cooperate with the temple authorities. And I hope that most spiritual masters do the same thing, tell their disciples to cooperate with the temple authorities. Main problem comes from our minds, that we, like Srila Prabhupada discusses this point in relation to the followers of Advaita Acharya, or the sons of Advaita Acharya, that there were two groups, those who followed his instructions and those who didn't follow his instructions. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada related that to the followers of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that there were two groups, you know, there are two categories, those who followed the instructions and those who didn't. And, he made the point that one should not infiltrate materially concocted ideas in devotional service. There could be some followers who, well, anyway, it's a, but that's the basic idea. And if there's a difference of instruction between the, I'll give my own example. So when we were in Indore, Srila Prabhupada got the latest issue Back to Godhead, which contained an article written by me about Guru, the first article I ever wrote. I wrote it in Boston, but by the time it was published, I was in India. And Srila Prabhupada read the article and he called me in and he said, I've read your article and it's very nice, and you should write. You should take up writing as your... as your main business. He said, so you can travel with me and I will train you. So then there was a then Hansaduta Prabhu, he wanted to begin I guess the Prabhupada's idea, world traveling, Sankirtan. And he asked Prabhupada if he could have me for his party. And Prabhupada agreed. So, I was a little disappointed because I thought I would be traveling with Prabhupada. He would be training me. But I thought, Prabhupada
whatever Prabhupada does is the best for everyone, so I accepted that. But I, in those, what to speak of computers in those days, you could hardly get a typewriter in India. So I just went out and bought some lined paper and pens and pencils, and I was going to follow Prabhupada's instructions to write. But then soon after, our first stop was, I think, Agra and Agra, two places, and then Prabhupada said that they're having a Pandal program in Bombay, and the whole party should come to Bombay. So we went to Bombay, and Shamsundar Prabhu was the temple president, and he was organizing the Pandal. And he was like, you know, dividing up the duties, and he said that I should collect for the Pandal. So I said, well, Srila Prabhupada told me that I should write. He said, well, you can write any time. You know, this is one time that we can go to anyone's office and ask for money. So you should do this now. So I thought about it. I thought two things. One, what he said made sense, and the other is Prabhupada told us to cooperate with our authorities. So I did. Then Srila Prabhupada came, and as usually happened, when he would arrive, he sat down in his room, and the devotees crowded in, and he was like smiling and beaming and glancing and now exchanging little words with different devotees. And then he came to me. He said, so, Giriraj, how is your writing going? And I was like so flustered. I couldn't speak. I said, all right, we'll talk later. So then later he called for me, and he said, so how's your writing going? So I told him what happened, what Shamsundar said, and my reasoning that it did make sense. It was like a special occasion. We can just go into anyone's office and ask for an advertisement for the souvenir. And also that Srila Prabhupada had said that we should cooperate with our authorities. But still, I wasn't sure if I'd done the right thing or not, so I was very apprehensive sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada. And then I said, you know, did I do the right thing? Then he said that you can suspend the order of the spiritual master, but you can never neglect it. And then he gave his own example. He said that my Guru Maharaj instructed me to write, but I've been so busy traveling and preaching in India, I've hardly had time to write. So you can suspend the order, but can't neglect it. So I thought that was a perfect instruction, and I felt Prabhupada understood the situation and appreciated my conclusion. And so I think that's sort of do both. Like in the fifth canto, there's the story of Priyavrata, and Narada was anyway. So he was receiving conflicting instructions. I'll tell it. So Priyavrata was the son of Manu, and so Narada preached to him that now he should give up being the king and, you know, renounce and take to Krishna consciousness. But Manu himself wanted to, like, renounce, and he wanted Priyavrata to stay in his position to enable him to leave. And so Priyavrata was in a dilemma, because Narada was an authority and Manu was an authority. They're both Mahajans. And so what to do? They're both authorized and they're giving apparently contradictory instructions. And it became so tense that Lord Brahma came to help resolve the situation. And he, he is also a Mahajan, but he was like superior to all of them. He's a father of Narada, father of Manu. And basically, it was an intricate discussion, but Srila Prabhupada said that one should be intelligent enough to satisfy the instructions of different authorities whose instructions appear to be opposed to each other. Now, what happened in this case was that Lord Brahma said that you should continue to rule, because, like, it's Manu's time to renounce, and he needs you to look after the kingdom, which was the birth planet. And everything. You should marry and do everything that you need to fulfill that duty, that responsibility. But internally, you should be detached. And in the end, when your time comes, then you can also leave. So, although apparently Narada was instructing him to renounce and Manu was instructing him to stay and rule, but internally he could stay and rule and still be renounced. So, or one could, looking at it from another perspective, say that he did follow Narada's instruction, but not immediately. Like, he suspended it, but eventually he followed it. Because while he was ruling it, he was married and he was apparently enjoying the opulence of the kingdom, but when the time came, that sense of renunciation awakened in his heart, and he left it all. Yes.
Thank you so much for so beautifully we lead up this point of the need of firm instructions, how practically to, in our practical situations, to live our life following these instructions. But Maharaj, I have a practical problem that although you said that it begins by our faith on following instructions that we gradually lead to love for the spiritual master and attachment to the spiritual master. But Maharaj, practically it happens that we have our attachments right now to sense gratification. In a given situation, we may know that this is instruction. Like in the case of Priyavrata Maharaj, he said, since you were instructed by Brahma to get married and rule, since he didn't have attachment to being a renunciant, he was neutral to both. If he was ordered to marry, he was ready to marry. If he was ordered to be renunciant, he was ready to be renunciant. In our case, Maharaj, the situation is not so, where we have our raga dveshas, our attachments and aversions. So it happens sometimes that although we know this is the order of the spiritual master, but then we have some attachment which is different from the order, and that is a time when which is heavier. If the attachment to sense gratification is more than the attachment to further instructions, then we give into the sense gratification. And although there is intellectual faith that my advancement depends on following the instruction, but because of that attachment, that faith remains intellectual and we give into the sense gratification. So Maharaj, how that intellectual faith can actually become practical or realized faith? Or in other words, how when that there is a dilemma, not a dilemma, because we know the instruction, but then how to overcome that attachment based on the instruction at that time? Like Maharaj, you gave your own example of how that you were allured once by that situation in Bombay, and you understood that it won't reach the Prabhupada. That was such a strong test for the material energy, but just because you knew that it won't reach Srila Prabhupada, you
would that it would that hurt him. It would hurt him and hurt the mission. Yeah.
But Maharaj, you could overcome that attachment based on this feeling that it would hurt Srila Prabhupada, but Maharaj, practically I can say in my case, even if I know this would hurt my spiritual master, I don't care because my attachment to sense gratification is stronger than my feeling of spiritual master. So Maharaj, how...
To me, it comes back to association. The His Holiness Shivaram Swami wrote a book called Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. And in the book, and he follows in this regard a discussion about Shuddha Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he discusses how one gets the bhakti lata beach, the seed of pure devotional service. But one can sort of adulterate that. And so although the seed from the spiritual master is for pure devotional service, one ends up in some variety of mixed devotional service. And then he discusses what is the process to come back to pure devotional service. And there are many details and categories and distinctions. But the common solution for all is to associate with pure devotees. By associating with pure devotees, one can, you know, come, maybe gradually, but come back to the position of pure devotional service, having started in that position and then having become weak and come to some variety of mixed devotional service or bhakti abhas, you know, just different categories. So, I mean, it's a matter of sincerity. Srila Prabhupada, I think it was in Vrindavan,
Srila Prabhupada was discussing with some disciples about devotees who were deviating. And one disciple said that, we have to educate them better. And another disciple said we have to supervise them better. And Srila Prabhupada replied, even if you educate them and supervise them, they can still cheat. If they're not sincere, they have to be sincere. And if they're not sincere, they can still cheat. And he gave the example of drinking water underwater on a fasting day. One goes to the river to take bath on a fasting day, and then while taking one's holy dip, one drinks water. And he knows, but still he does it. And even if there are people with him, but nobody will be able to catch him because he's underwater. So the main thing is sincerity. So then how to develop the sincerity? So Srila Prabhupada has given different answers on different occasions. One is by following all of my instructions, however big or small. That was the one I heard first, and that was the one that guided me. But later, I heard another one, which was by associating with sincere devotees. And, my ability to follow a lot of the orders, however big or small, in a way seems less at this age than it was 40 years ago. So now, like associating with sincere devotees, that sounds like a good one. And of course, that association will inspire you to follow the most important instructions: chanting, hearing, serving, cooperating. There are other devotees. There's other Prabhupada disciples here. Maybe we should hear their realizations. I'm sure they have plenty of realizations.
My take on that is that Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. And doesn't mean that if you haven't attained what you think is the perfectional stage, you should start self-flagellating yourself. You pick yourself up by the bootstraps, as they say, and you carry on. And you don't give up. You just remain determined. Because we're in a material body, which comes with strengths and weaknesses, then that's going to affect, we're given a set of ears, eyes, nose, and so on. So we have different ways of seeing things. And it may seem to conflict with the instructions we're given, but if we just keep the goal in mind and keep determined that, all right, I'm going to make mistakes. But the thing is that if you make a mistake, you just correct the mistake and you go on. How many devotees we've had? This This was a major lesson I heard when I was in Nairobi from Brahmananda, who was a Maharaj at the time. They said, so if somebody falls down, you get up and you continue on. So we may not be talking about something as extreme as falling down. We just kind of, our mind wanders. Maybe we're not thinking of the mantra when we're chanting our japa, but we bring it back. We keep on bringing it back. We might not keep our mind on the instructions our spiritual master gave us, but we bring our minds back. And maybe sometime you were explaining, there might be some time when you have to follow some other instruction, but you don't neglect the instruction.
That's good. Lakshmi, Mami, Mataji.
For me, the association of devotees and also sorting out in any given situation, understanding what is the most important, the principle that I have to take up in this situation, which will get me over the hump that I'm facing, and kind of using either my intelligence or finding someone else who has more intelligence to help me choose those instructions which will give me the strength to get over the weakness that I'm experiencing or that I might experience.
You'll get a lot of free advice too.
Yeah, you get a lot of free advice. You have as many doctors as you have friends. So you have to choose your friend. I think that actually choosing your association is one of the most valuable choices that you make in spiritual life. And if you choose your friends, your association carefully, then that will help you in every other circumstance.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Any other volunteers to share realizations? Well,
one thing is that sometimes we tend to look at the circumstances and look for black and white situations, but I find that rarely things are black and white. They're almost always multiple shades of every color, compassion, ignorance, and goodness. And so each circumstance requires prayer and thought and meditation and, you know, just each circumstance requires a lot of thought, a lot of prayer to move forward. Sometimes you have to move really slow so you don't get yourself in too much trouble while you're figuring it out.
That's true. We may have, well, different degrees of magnitude, but you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 decisions pending. And you don't want to make a mistake. There will be consequences, but you might not get the answer right away. You pray, you chant, you take counsel from the best people for the purpose. I mean, there's one nice verse that Mother Parvati's, or Parvati Prabhu's statement reminded me of from the 11th canto. It begins Yadrichayan Mad Kantado, which means having, Krishna saying, having awakened faith in my pastimes, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still not being able to give it up, my devotees continues in devotional service, in a happy mood. While repenting his inability to follow and making every effort to follow properly. So, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the beginning of pure devotional service. The idea is that no matter what, the devotee will not give up devotional service, even if, you know, he falls down. And then this prita is in a happy mood. Like, the devotee continues in a happy mood because of his relationship with Krishna. He knows that Krishna is his father, and Krishna will always support him. And he also, it's also mentioned in the purport that he knows that he cannot overcome this weakness by his own strength. He can only overcome it by Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna gives that mercy depends on Krishna. It's not in his hand. It's in Krishna's hand. And so he's patient. You know, and he doesn't mind how long it takes, but he is confident that one day Krishna will give his mercy. So, and so he's happy. Lord Chaitanya had one. Anyway, about being patient. Lord Chaitanya had a disciple named Mukunda. And Mukunda, he was sometimes associating with Vaishnavas and sometimes associating with Mayavadis. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, meeting with his devotees, he forbade Mukunda to enter. You know, he said that on the one hand he's offering me flowers and on the other hand he's hitting me on the head with a club. So I will not see. So when Mukunda heard this, you know, he was devastated. And he said, I'll never see Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu said, after 10 million births, I'll see him. So when Mukunda heard that, he became jubilant. That, oh, he'll see me again. He'll see me again. And then Mahaprabhu is the omniscient Lord within the heart. And Mukunda was literally dancing in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within Mukunda's heart understood. And then he said, okay, call Mukunda. So that what was meant to be 10 million births became 10 seconds. Because of the way Mukunda accepted it. So, yeah, patience, enthusiasm, confidence, all these are required.
One thing I thought of in relation to what this guru was saying is that we have moments of weakness, but in moments of strength, we should make arrangements in our lives so that our moments of weakness are minimized. And the tendencies that cause us to become weak are kind of
we're protected against those. So we should, you know, we should choose our life situation, arrange our life in such a way that we don't fall prey to our weaknesses very easily. We arrange things to protect ourselves.
That's very good. Very good. Very practical. Like once, Jai Dwaita Swami and I were in Spain together, and we were sleeping in the temple president's office, you know, on the carpet. And at night he said that you should wake me up at 4 o'clock. And if I don't get up, you should nudge me. And if I still don't get up, you should pour water in my face. And whatever I say in the morning, don't listen to that. But listen to what I'm telling you now. So I think that's an example of putting yourself in a situation that will help you to overcome your weaknesses, give you support to overcome your weaknesses. Okay, last two, I guess.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about Gaur Govinda Maharaj and your relationship with him and his relationship with Prabhupada?
Repeat the question? Oh, can I say something about my relationship with Gaur Govinda Maharaj and his relationship with Srila Prabhupada? When I first met him, I could see that he was very advanced. But at the same time, I had some, maybe a little, I don't know, I was somewhat covered. But he was good at piercing through the covering. Like I think my most extended association came when he visited Mauritius. He was in Mauritius for about 2 weeks, and you know, I was like with him almost all the time, and I was the senior most devotee there. But you know, I was just starting to read the books more seriously, and so I was discussing these five most potent forms of devotional service: sadhu sangha, associating with advanced devotees. So one of them is Mathura Vas, you know, living in Mathura Vrindavan. So somehow I was mentioning these to him, and you know, he just stopped and he looked at me in the eye. He said, "Kamsa also lived in Mathura." Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, as time went on, I saw more of the similarities. But the last time I saw him was actually the day he left. But I wasn't in Mayapur when he left, because I had to deal with some emergency in America. And so I went up to one of the GBC conference rooms upstairs. I think they were discussing education. But I, you know, sort of like took leave from the chairman and everything, and before leaving Mayapur, and he was sort of right inside the door, sitting at the table. So, so I saw him, and I felt like putting my head on his feet, but I hesitated for a moment, because, you know, there are like all these serious people there. And there was some controversy about Maharaj also. So I consider that hesitation to have been, maybe not so much, but I do consider it to be a little fault. But then in the end, I just overcame that, and I just, like, you know, put my head on his feet and clasped his feet. And he was very merciful and affectionate, and he whatever rubbed my back. We looked at each other, so I felt happy in the end. And then I was not in communication for some time, and I only really heard that he had left his body maybe 2 weeks later, you know. But yeah, that was... Overall, I'm glad that, obviously, that I did that. And as far as his relationship with Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he really... I think His Holiness Niranjan Swami told a very nice story at that memorial program in Mayapur, and basically, I don't even remember exactly what the discussion was, but what Maharaj got out of it was that he is like completely sold out to Srila Prabhupada. He was completely sold out to Srila Prabhupada. He could just see it. And Niranjan Swami had a question in his mind. And Gaur Govinda Swami answered the question without Maharaj asking it. But the way he answered it, Maharaj was convinced that actually Srila Prabhupada was answering his question, that Srila Prabhupada was speaking through Gaur Govinda Swami. And then after giving that answer, Gaur Govinda Swami said that sometimes the spiritual master will speak through another devotee, but you'll know that it's your spiritual master. And Niranjan Swami said it was like he was describing what had just happened to him. So, yeah. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Sunan Kuramaj. One of the last points you mentioned about from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, about Krishna, about the devotee, still attached to sense gratification, but dependent only on Krishna's mercy to remove that that nartha or obstacle. I came to think of a point, story you related in one of your lectures that Srila Prabhupada told about the chatak bird.
Oh, yes.
And also felt that that story was linked to earlier point about Shiksha outside of ISKCON, that you know, Prabhupada has provided everything in ISKCON. Regarding that point you had mentioned in another lecture, which I sort of vaguely that, you know, Prabhupada's mood was different and that, you know, even if one goes back home, back to Godhead, one may not be with, you know, Prabhupada. So I wonder if you could elaborate more on that.
Well, he's made some good points here. The one about the Chatakbari. Srila Prabhupada was walking in Chicago and he came to a car called Thunderbird. And so he asked, is there such a thing as a Thunderbird? So the devotees said, well, they think it was named after an Indian chief who was named Thunderbird. And Srila Prabhupada said, but is there any such thing as a Thunderbird? And the devotees weren't aware of it. And Prabhupada said, well, we have a Thunderbird called the Chatak. And the Chatak will take water only from the cloud. And sometimes the cloud doesn't give water. It gives thunder and lightning. But still the Chatak won't go anywhere else. And then he explained that Srila Rupa Goswami used this example that the devotee is like a Chatak bird, and he'll only take mercy from Krishna. And even if Krishna doesn't give mercy, he gives thunderbolts, but still he won't go anywhere else. So he was relating that to not going outside of this. And then the point about wanting to serve Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world, he's made the point, quoting me, that it is possible. We can't say that it's impossible. It is possible that one could, you know, take shelter of a Vaishnava outside of ISKCON and go back to Godhead. But then you won't be, under Srila Prabhupada there. You'll be under someone else. And so, so if we want to serve Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world, then we should follow his instructions in particular and then go to him. And I would prefer that personally. All right, so thank you very much for your wise questions and comments and patience. And Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Nubas Ki. Hare Krishna.